Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day, there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're going to have so much fun today. I absolutely positively had to set the timer because I knew we'd be going on forever if I didn't. I love my guest. I've already been a guest on her podcast, and we'll let her tell you just a little bit about that. So Turnabout is fair play, and I get to now put her on the hot seat, grill her, get that great information, and it really is going to be great information. So please join me in welcoming Catherine Avery to our program today. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you so much, Deb. I'm so excited to be here. And yes, we've already chatted for quite a while.
I know. You know, these things, people say, you know, I actually had somebody tell me one time that they thought I was shy. And I said, have you met me? So, well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we'll dive into this because this is going to be such a fun program. And I almost forgot to say, it is our 600th program. 600, folks. I've been doing this a long time. And it was so fun when I was trying to pick the guest for this special program. I went, no choice. It has to be Catherine because I knew we'd have such a good program. So a little bit about Catherine. Do you feel that your to-do list is out of control? Catherine Avery empowers smart but scattered small business owners to conquer their daily tasks, paperwork, and productivity. A former queen of clutter, she implements proven strategies that get you on a more productive and profitable track. Combining her design sense with streamlined systems and business acumen, she helps her clients master their time, space, and information. A recovering type A Wall Streeter and cancer survivor and thriver, Catherine knows that time is more valuable than money. So again, Catherine, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, you know, we're really going to talk a lot about tips and things to help people who are home officing, you know, whether they had been doing it for quite a long time or went, oh my gosh, I have to do it tomorrow. But let's find out a little bit more about you right now. So tell us how you discovered, because you did have a Wall Street career, all those things. How did you decide that this, where you are right now, is your passion in life?
Well, it started really first with going back to design school.
Okay.
I was sitting in interior design. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in my living room in my home in Norwalk. I was a newlywed or about to be married with my two besties by my side. They had come into town to visit. And I said, I'm looking at four possible careers, psychotherapist, teacher, graphic designer, interior designer. And they looked around the house and they said, you're kidding, right? Be an interior designer. Mm-hmm. And I did that for quite some time. Mm-hmm. How I got to helping people with productivity and this passion for this was really caused by the fact that I had chemo brain immediately following cancer. And I combined that with, I recently discovered, maybe not that recently, knowledge that I have ADHD. The two were just like an implosion. There was no focus thought.
Right.
In my brain, it was not an easy time, and I really started searching for what are systems and methodologies out there. When I had cancer, I had to half close my business. I just cut way back on how many clients I had. I didn't have the systems in place to be able to run my business effectively. Had a VA, but she was only doing a certain few things, and I went out there on a search, and the first thing I found was Productive Environment Network. And I studied how to set up a productive environment, whether that's in a corporate space or in a home office. I found I was doing a lot of this already, but I didn't have like well-defined systems. It was sort of, oh, this client needs this, this client needs that. And there's some great greatness to having a very individualized solution. Mm-hmm. But then there's also some real benefits to having an overall arching mm-hmm. theme and program. Since then, I've been studying with the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. Mm. And I am studying for ADHD. I've got my level one certification. And I just finished, I haven't got my certificate officially yet, level one coach approach. And this is in how to become a coach. Wow. So I'm constantly improving. Mm-hmm. One of my lifelong mottos is mm-hmm. always be learning. Mm-hmm. And I am loving the coaching aspect. It's a whole new way of dealing with how we listen mm-hmm. to people, which I think is great. I'm actually signed up to do the whole program. So over wow. the course of the entire year, I will become an officially certified coach mm-hmm. The year through spring of 2021, not mm-hmm. December. Mm-hmm. I wish it was going to be that fast, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And it was really about taking all my skills, this corporate America experience mm-hmm. I had, the design business I was working with, commercial interior clients mm-hmm. with productivity systems, to offer a full package to small business owners where they could say, okay, I need to set up my office, Catherine. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. I find I'm struggling with time management. How do I deal with that? Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can't manage time. I call it prioritization.
Right.
You don't mm-hmm. prioritize mm-hmm. time. And you and I are very familiar with how little time we could actually have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not good or bad, actually, mm-hmm. I think good that you, when you get that wake-up call. And it's just been this amazing journey mm-hmm. Working with my clients to help them get better at mastering their mm-hmm. space, time, and information. That's right. Just the bottom line.
Right. I love it. You know, and we'll talk more later on about the whole cancer aspects, because you and I were actually diagnosed. We didn't know each other until fairly recently, but we were diagnosed with breast cancer only about a month apart. Right. A little bit different journeys, but everybody has that. But it really does make you think differently, you know, in a variety of ways. I laugh that, you know, not only did I get chemo brain, you know, and I'm one of the squirrel, you know, but I also had multiple surgeries. And so every time I turned around, I was getting all this anesthesia, which just, you know, kills off so many brain cells and all sorts of things. And so I've had to learn how to redo things and which is frustrating. Because, you know, and then you add in just aging in general.
Now they shut down our hormones instantly.
I know, you know, and you put all this together. And I think one of the things that I've discovered is it is very frustrating, but it's also natural and normal. And so it's okay to say, I'm not as organized as I used to be. Or, you know, I need to do all of this differently. I mean, I now have, it's funny. I've seen one of the memes that I see multiple times says, you know, 2020, what a waste of buying a planner. I love my planner. You know, it's got all sorts of things in it. And then I'm also a note taker. I didn't used to do that. I didn't have to, because my brain could keep up. And I don't know, you know, it probably is more just aging than anything. But, you know, we have to embrace the fact that, hello, we are here to get older. So, you know, we have to figure out those things. But, you know, the big thing now that we're obviously almost all dealing with is we are working in a totally different way because of the pandemic.
Right.
For most of us, we're in our home office. Now, many of us already were. I mean, you know, that was just our choice. But we are having to work differently, because, you know, all of a sudden there might be a bunch of other people in the house with you, you know, right? And you know, and so, or you might having to homeschool. I know that you know, that's another one of the things that a lot of people are dealing with. And we also had to deal with the fact that for many people, it was not a choice to all of a sudden be working from home. One day you were at work, and then you were told, you're not coming in, probably for a month. Oh, yeah, probably another month. My husband, you know, as we're recording this is August. He has been told his office will not be back in the office till at least January 4th.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not even going to mess with this year. They're not going to deal with that. And you know, I know several other people that are like that. So the problem was, they're like, oh, I have nothing set up. You know, how many times during those first weeks when we had to do a Zoom with somebody, they're on their kitchen table, they're on their dining room table, they're perched on, you know, what used to be phone books, you know, all of these various things. So talk us through how to basically, and then of course we've struggled with it. We've gone shopping, we've had, you know, we bought them some, and we keep thinking we'll be back in the office. Things will go back to normal. I don't think so. You know, I think many people are going to continue working from home. So how do we do that? You know, how do we make sure first, you know, that we have a space that works for us? Let's talk about the space.
So let's talk about what happened here. My true life story. I work from home. I have a beautiful home office. You can have art on the walls. I am very settled in this very small bedroom. We have a 3-bedroom house. This is the smallest of the 3 bedrooms. My daughter has a room, and obviously my husband and I have a bedroom. And my husband has always had a home office set up down in the lower level, which is a fully finished basement. It's quite lovely. But there's not a lot of natural light. And he was feeling kind of glum. He was suddenly stripped from the office after working in an office for, I don't know, 25 years. So he was the one really having the big sort of, I don't want to call it drama because he's a guy. But it was a huge...
It was a big change.
Huge change. And he already had a space. He was set up. He had a desk. He had all the things. And he complained about it. He said, I'm really not happy. And I said, well, let's start with opening the curtains. That can help get some light.
That's because you see, because people need sunlight, even if you're not outside.
And then I said, I'm noticing that you have the television on all day to a news channel. Is that
true?
And he said, yes. And I said, well, why don't you, and the news, let's just be clear, the TV for him is back where that art is for me. So he's not looking at a TV.
So it's white noise.
In the background, and it's sort of white noise for him. So I said, listen, I'm sure several times a day you turn around and just glance, and what you're seeing is news. I
said, and icky news.
Yeah, or whatever news. What if during the beginning of a pandemic, I'm sure it's terrible. So what if you were to put on something that was like a nature scene in the background? So when you turned around, you'd have a very large 65-inch TV window, right, that looks like nature. And he said, well, you know, I love golf. I said, fine, golf channel.
Oh, yeah.
How great is that, right? People are playing golf. There's a little bit of background noise. There are water features. There are sand drops. There are trees.
There's no loud noise.
Right? It's not terribly loud. It's been perfect for him, and it really helped. Now, interestingly enough, being an essential worker, because he is in the world of landscape architecture, he is back at the office a couple days a week, but it's a very small office environment. No one is allowed in and out. They're not an employee. And he can go a little bit, and that helps. I think he goes about 2 days a week into the office, and then the other 3 days works from home, which is great. I said, don't go to the office all the time or they're going to expect you. Which sounds terrible, but it's a little bit true. So he does get outside and do that. So that's his story. My daughter needed to have a setup for her for working for school, for schoolwork. And she had always done her homework at our dining room table. It wasn't a big deal. But this was going to be classes. So she actually chose her space. And I'm going to tell folks who are parents, if your kids are going remote now, if at all possible, have them be a part of that process. You know, a lot of this is discussing things with your family, what I call family rules. Now, when my door is closed, there's a big sign that says I'm recording. It's also up to me to go to my family and say, I'm going to be recording the dead for the next hour. You know, everyone can keep it on the quiet side. They'd be great. So my daughter would normally be watching loud TV of some kind, and she's not right now. So she has her little area. It's in her, I digressed, of course. It's in her bedroom. She chose how she wanted her little sort of desk set up and where she was going to remote school. And she's 15 and it's great. She's very comfortable. And it really worked out. So if you're setting up your home office space, now let's really like go right to the topic here, having sort of told the story. There are things you want to think about. You want to think about light. natural light. If you don't have natural light, you don't have a window, what could you put up that would be sort of a nature scene? Maybe mm-hmm. that's a poster. Maybe it's your TV with something nature in the background. Mm-hmm. For me, I face a window. And my scene is really some houses and a tree. But I get natural light. Different times of the day, I'm closing or opening the curtains, depending on how much natural light today. It's a little bit on the gray side, so it's perfect. But some days I have to actually close the curtains being recorded. Because you do want to think about your background and is light on your face. And, you know, a lot of us are doing Zoom meetings. It does tend to be a little dark in my background, unfortunately, even when I have the lights full on. There are things I could do. I could have a standing lamp that would be placed in front of my face, facing back, that would provide light back there. And I could set that up. You don't have to go spend a ton of money buying.
Search light. Around your house. See what you've already
Look
got.
Around. Do you have a floor lamp? Set it up and turn it. Like I'm thinking of those.
The old mystery movies. Yeah, where they're like,
Right, exactly. So that's an option. The biggest thing you want is to have a space that can be somewhat private. You don't preferably want to be sitting in your kitchen or your living room. I found this when we were at our beach house for the month because she was remote schooling. I was remote working. So I said, what the heck? Let's go. Our renters had canceled. And so we went down and spent a month. When I initially started working down there, I just said, I wanted the beautiful view of the water. And therefore, I'm going to set up my desk in the living area. It's open floor plan. I have a growing teenager. She was constantly in the kitchen. It was the most distracting thing. I just set up in a guest room, and that's fine. A guest room is great. Just make sure that your background isn't a bed.
Right. And you can now, you know, my screen is, we were laughing about this before, it's kind of an ugly screen. I need to do something different. But, you know, you can do that, like a Soji screen or something that you put up and take down, you know, because your area might be serving multi-purpose. You can easily put something back there to hide the unmade bed, the piles of laundry, you know, the kitchen, whatever.
You could also use that screen if you're sitting, if you do have to be in a public place, to act as your door, your barrier between you and whatever. So when the screen is up, mom or dad is working and shouldn't be disturbed. And that also allows your eyes a place to land that isn't looking out at, say, the kids' toys in the living room. And I do have clients who've had to do this. They've truly had no choice but to put their desk in the living room. And I'm going to say this, if you're in an apartment situation, it is better to have your desk in the living room than it is to have it in the bedroom. Your bedroom is for sleeping. A computer there is a reminder of work you have to do. If you wake up at 2 a.m., you will get on the computer because it's there in your room. I also recommend this for iPads and phones and everything else. Put them away. Don't get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, just try to go back to sleep.
Oh, what happened on Facebook in the last 20 minutes?
And I've done that. Kitchen. It's a long walk from the bedroom in the middle of the night to the kitchen. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. So that's an option. The a lower level, a basement, any of these kinds of places that are, you know, somewhat finished that could work for you. We have a big saying in our productive environment group, which is, it's not what you should do, it's what you will do. So if you will work best being in a guest bedroom, then that's where it's best for you to set up. It's I think everyone has gotten used to this. They've gotten used to the idea that sometimes the cat jumps up while you're on
I know. I tell people, you know, I don't edit out things that happen, you know, unless it's major, you know. So your cat could go wander through. We'd go, ooh, ah, and then we'd go on.
Exactly. And that's kind of cute and fun. And sometimes the kids do come running in. And that's all just a part of working from home. And and I think it's been great, actually, for people to see what it's like to work from home. It's very different. But I'm a big believer in the family rules. You know, if it's not bleeding or, you know, broken.
Don't interrupt.
Don't interrupt. Sometimes, you know, it's funny. My window faces in such a way that I actually see the UPS guy come up the front step. And then I have to decide, am I going to answer the doorbell or not? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Really depends. Right now, I would not. I'm on an interview. So that's where I would start. I'd look mm-hmm. around your house and consider where is a good quiet spot to mm-hmm. set up if you haven't already, or if you're thinking about moving to a better spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think everybody kept thinking it's temporary. So kitchen table is okay. Dining room table is okay. Card table in the living room. And now they are discovering, because maybe it's going to be like with your husband, where they're splitting their time, or, you know, schools are doing a lot of the hybrid type of things from kindergarten all the way through college. And so people are having to have a work space.
I will tell you, in late May, when I was scrambling to purchase desks for us in Fenwick mm-hmm. Island so that we could work remotely, there weren't a lot of options. So I called Film and I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, there's a run on desks because by May, mm-hmm. people realize this isn't just a month or two. Mm-hmm. This could be many months. Mm-hmm. I've got to buy a desk.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now the big thing is computer monitors. Right. I heard that you know, people have discovered either that the one they had was too little because, you know, they only were using it every once in a while, or they were using their laptop and they realized they needed to hook to a bigger monitor. So yeah, monitors are in short supply now.
Right. And I'm going to show you, and I did have to go get monitors for down there too. Mm-hmm. This was my score. This is a Logitech Brio. These things are like gold. Mm-hmm. I finally got one. I've been looking for one and looking for, I had to order it from a place in California to get it.
Yeah. I actually got mine just several weeks ago on Amazon, and it's same thing. It's a Brio. But I think I hit it at the exact right time. I think
I didn't get one on Amazon. I couldn't. I tried. Yeah. And then finally I said, I've got to go just search further afield to get one, because I really want to have, and no, it's not set up yet because I literally opened it this morning.
I know. And it is a little different because I had a Logitech 920.
Right.
And the controls are a little bit different. Side tip for anybody who's having to do this, make sure that you have the current drivers and all of that, because, you know, I just plugged it in because I had another Logitech and the controls didn't work. So, make sure that you're getting the latest and greatest drivers, whether it's, you know, your new toys, your monitor, your whatever. But that is something that we're adding to, you know, because we're figuring out, okay, you know, I have two big monitors. How do you make those work? Is your computer even able to do that? I mean, it's got to have two innies, in the back to be able to take two monitors. And so you need to figure that out. I think a lot of people discovered that their equipment just wasn't up to par, and
I'd be interested to know if large corporations are helping their folks get set up at home.
Maybe I think a lot of them are, my husband's definitely did, he always had a laptop. I mean, that was just, what he always used, and he typically brought it home. Even though he usually didn't even turn it on, he just had it home in case something happened and he needed it. But one of the things that he wanted was a monitor. But he had to get special permission because the building was locked down to be in there at a certain point in time.
Right.
And he was accompanied, all those various things to make sure that, that he didn't stay and all of those things. But office chairs were another thing that I know a lot of people had trouble with. They might have just been using, an icky old office chair that was the discard from wherever, but all of a sudden having to be in it 6, 8, 10 hours a day, they needed an office chair. And I was talking to a friend of mine who said that was one of the issues that a friend of hers had. She was having to sit in just, an old folding chair and was, discovering, she'd put a pillow and also, but no, it's just certainly not
a chair. And my rule for my clients, although this is almost impossible right now, is to sit in it to make sure it really fits.
Right. Yeah. So because there's so many.
You don't have to spend a fortune on a Herman Miller Aeron chair, although they are lovely and really creme de la creme. Mm-hmm. I'm in a Han Miron, which isn't even made anymore, but it is totally 100% ergonomic. It's an amazing chair. So the things you want to look at are, you want to start with your feet flat on the floor. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to start with your arms at your keyboard, and you want a 90-degree angle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and show it with your arm to the desk surface and to your keyboard. And then what you want is, you might find that you have to sit higher up. Mm-hmm. And if you're short like I am, you might need a footrest under your feet. Mm-hmm. So it used to be the 90-90-90 rule, and they have changed this. So the 90-90, now it's like 120 rule, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's 90-degree angle for your elbows, 90-degree mm-hmm. angle for your knees, 90-degree angle for your hips. And then, believe it or not, we're actually supposed to be sitting slightly back.
Oh, see, and I lean forward, and I'm guessing I'm leaning forward more because of this than anything.
Right, of course. Mm-hmm. So there's, but it's very surprising to me, and I've been trying to do this, and I'm not really very good at it.
Yeah. You know,
what's key is, and this is where a laptop versus a large screen comes in handy, and I'll say in a sec, is you don't want to be hunched over. This is what happens to people when they're working on a laptop all the time. Whereas if you're a desktop with a proper monitor and you have the 27-inch screen, for those of us who have a little bit older eyes, you can then sit properly. Mm-hmm. Very hard with the laptop. Laptops, sitting on a couch, big no-no.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you're going to hunch, you're going to, I mean, there's all sorts of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also if you're a gentleman, there are very good reasons not to put laptops in your lap.
It's just not comfortable. We'll just say it's not comfortable.
It's not just that it's not comfortable. It actually affects your ability to have children.
Right. Yeah. Because there are things emanating from a laptop.
Correct. So that's all we're going to say on that topic. Gentlemen, if you're sitting with a laptop,
protect the boys.
Put it to a table or get one of those little, I never remember what they're called. Remember we had them for school and you could like.
Oh yeah, the little desk tray type of
little
thing.
Desk tray.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, there goes my chemo brain. I forget words. Yes. Very funny. And it's fun. And I just laugh about it. So those are the things that I would think about. Really, you want to spend your money on a chair. If you've got a very limited budget, the first place to put the money is into a really good quality chair. Right. You can always use a table. And the rule of thumb, I think, is about 25 to 30 inches on your height, really based on where your chair is, et cetera. A standard desk is 28 inches high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just to have
And you can always use books and things to change the height of things on your desk. But yeah, the worst thing, so like if I had, so I have a keyboard tray that pulls out. So it puts me at exactly where I'm supposed to be. But if I had my keyboard up on my desk, I'm going to be doing this.
Right.
You know, and that's such a good look. But, you know, not only is it not a good look, that's just disaster. And, you know, we're not exactly supposed to be going to the chiropractor all the time either, you know, this whole social distancing thing. But yeah, so
I do though. I go every week.
I know, you know, and
so, she's amazing. She runs it really safely and she, you know, you only can be in at a certain time. You have to call from your car, et cetera. You said the scrunching and not going to the chiropractor. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say around that?
Uh-oh. See, I squirreled us.
Oh, that was so funny. Okay. It's all good. It'll come back.
Oh, yeah. Really
just for people to remember to just keep. Oh, I know. It's that if you really are at your desk all day long, and I found this with Zoom meetings. A lot of the Zoom meetings now, people think that, you know, you can go from one Zoom meeting to another.
Right.
When you were in your office, there was usually 5 or 10 minutes in between meetings. And in that time, what did you do?
You got up.
Stretched, you walked. So make sure in between your Zoom meetings, make them 45 minutes or something so that you have time to get up and stretch, walk, grab your next file, get a cup of coffee, Deb. Another cup of coffee. For me, it's my iced tea. And
then the next time you're going to a different room because you had all that coffee and tea, but
right. But it's to try and mimic that flow of your day. Human beings were designed to move.
Right.
We were hunters before we were farmers. So, and even farmers were moving. We weren't designed to sit in an office chair 8 hours a day.
Right. Right. So, you know, well, and a lot of people really are Zooming for a long time. And you can tell because by the end, you've got them doing this.
It's so hard. I can't do it anymore. I have a Zoom limit now. I will not do more than 3 meetings in one day, and they are not back to back.
Right. Yeah. You know, and it's funny. I haven't read any of the articles about Zoom fatigue, but there is, you know, there's a lot that they're saying about that. That even though it's great that we're interacting with people, because I think that is one of the other things that so many people are really struggling with is. we went from either, you know, even if we were home officing, we were still going and meeting people. We were networking. We were doing all these various things. And then, of course, if you were in an office, there were 200 people there, you know, whatever. And, you know, and so Zoom has allowed us to be seeing people again. You know, I have this great online networking group that I started primarily just so that we could see people.
Right.
But when you do it too long, there are issues, and not the least of which is the fact that we've sat there for so long.
So there's three issues with Zoom fatigue. So I actually have done this.
Yay! Da, 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 da. See, we do a great segue.
And there's probably more, but I'm going to name the three that I know right off the top of my head. One is you need to be much more animated so that people can really tell what your feelings are.
I know. I wonder, did their screen freeze? Or
the second is it's much more difficult for us to see. We're struggling. We work harder to see visual clues on a video than we would in person, partly because we can't see the rest of the person's body.
Right.
So we're even getting visual clues from people. Here I am doing it now from their hands. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So there's that aspect. And then the third is, yes, the sitting down. It's the constant sitting. And I really, some of this can be resolved by two things. One, spreading out your meetings so they're not all back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Having realistic expectations. People get caught on the last meeting and it's hard for them to get to the next one. So make sure you put that buffer time in. And then, you know, take that walk. Walk around in between. Oh, I know. Pick up the phone. A lot of my friends, I really want to talk to you. Let's get on Zoom. I'm like, can you call me?
Yeah, because I'm gonna talk while we're taking our walk or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. So I used to do, you bring up a great point. I love podcasts. We both podcast. I love to listen to podcasts. The reason I became a podcaster is because I was loving listening to podcasts. Well, the way I used to listen to podcasts was in my car driving to my networking meeting.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore. So now I listen to my podcasts when I'm power walking. And I power walk pretty much every day.
Right.
Not today because we're meeting fairly early and it wasn't, the timing just wasn't going to work.
Right.
And that's fine. But 5 or 6 days a week, I power walk and I listen to my podcasts then. And so it's just a matter of thinking about how you sort of re-engineer your day. And some of the beauty, so here we are, we're going to slide right into time prioritization. Some of the beauty of working from home is you can have some flexibility. Confession time, I frequently work Saturday morning.
It's a good time to catch up on stuff.
Just a couple hours. It's quiet. I can catch up on things. Everybody else is doing their thing in my household and they're not really interrupting me. But today we're having a lovely lunch with a friend and it is pure social time. So Saturday morning is going to be, I don't want to say necessary, but kind of necessary.
Yeah, because you're balancing your hours back out.
Right, exactly. And sometimes it's that we have a doctor appointment or my kid has a doctor appointment or there's other things to be done. I have really learned how to balance my day. I've also learned how to set work hours and I really don't work after.
Oh, yeah.
Highly unusual to see me working in the evening. There are some evenings I have a meeting. I try to not have very many evening meetings.
Right.
I really, in my post-cancer world, don't do well in the evening. I'm very tired by the evening. I'm a person who's up working at 6 a.m. And in the evening, my brain is kind of kablooey. So I never did very many networking events at night. Just that's my family time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm that way too. I don't do, you know, when we still could do it, maybe one a week,
right?
You know, and, or even, you know, an online meeting or something like that, because there were times where we would do things in the evening online, but yeah, you know, just one a week. And I tell people, you know, it's my family time, which is a little tricky with time differences. I mean, you know, that's, and so that's, you know, because, you know, you and I are both on Eastern time, but I'm from Colorado. So a lot of the people that I work with are still 2 hours behind me. So I kind of have to adapt with a little bit there, but I kind of make them a deal. Every once in a while, we're going to do some things that are really early for them.
Right.
You know, and so we do it that way. But yeah, time, that really has been one of the trickiest things since, and I've been home office now for 20 years.
Right.
You know, setting those boundaries. And, you know, and so we've learned, you know, as you said, but yeah, I mean, because clients will say, well, you're home. Doesn't that mean you're working 24/7?
No.
And I learned the easiest way to do it is I tell them, you know, I have office hours there, whatever to whatever. And I'm more than happy to deal with something evening, weekend, holiday. However, it's double time.
Good for you.
They almost always figure out it can wait. Now there are times and, you know, currently I'm working with clients who we do a lot more things in the evening, but it's stuff I can do on my phone while I'm watching TV. So not a huge deal. But yeah, you have to set those boundaries and then keep them, you know, and keep, and as you were saying, keep them for yourself too. I'm going to share a story here. So when we were trying to set up all of this interview, you were on vacation. And what I loved about it was not a working vacation. You know, and we knew, you know, both my producer and I, okay, we might get you for an hour, you know, you might be, you know, in a morning, but you know, you were on vacation. And I think that's one of the things, especially with people who are very new at this, whether it's going to be permanent or long-term, they do have to figure those things out. You know, when is family time? Right. And they have to make it clear to the people they work with. What I love is that people are finding out that that can be totally different. You know, right. they might have been in the office from 8 until 5, but brain-wise or whatever, that wasn't their most productive time. You know, 10 p.m. might be when, and you know, and as long as they're getting the work done, I think a lot of businesses are going to allow that to happen. And then, you know, then you toss in the fact that they've got kids at home, that, you know, that right. They're having to supervise their schooling. We just had a big story come across today that, you know, in Georgia, you know, school is back in session. Many, many school districts are obviously homeschooling or doing a hybrid type of thing. And the second day of classes for one of the big school districts, they started having a bunch of pornography that was coming on. Now, it wasn't somebody tapping in. It was the kids doing it themselves because they thought it was funny. So they're, you know, holding up a phone or whatever. So, you know, and the point of this squirrel is that, you know, you might be having to supervise your kids or at least be somewhere where you can, you know, keep an eye on what they're doing. So schools are adapting to that too. They're doing online where maybe they're doing it in the evenings. But, you know, this whole thing with rearranging your time. And then the other big thing, and this kind of goes along with vacation, is we still have to have our own personal time.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's that it's an hour in the evening reading. Maybe it's that you take your coffee outside. You know, and all of these things. And I love that concept because I think more and more people are really figuring out just how important that is.
So I call that the power of the pause. I'm not alone. I know there are people who have said this. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm working with my clients on time prioritization, I say the first thing you need to do is pause. Mm-hmm. And they look at me like I have 6 heads.
Right.
And I say, until you can stop and take a breath and do whatever it is that you need to do to recharge. Mm-hmm. And I have a story behind this. I had a coach where I learned this really, who I was getting back to work. I was trying to get productive. I was over my treatments. I was ready to go. It's time. It's time. It's time. I need my clients. I need this. I need that. And she looked at me and she said, I need you to take a month off.
And you're like, ah!
Are you crazy? I can't take a month off right now. You can imagine this, the talk, right? I did it. I took a month off and I recovered. And when I recovered, then I could see clearly. So I'm not saying take a month off. I'm saying pause. And whatever that pause looks like for you, it might be the half hour power walk I take. And sometimes I'm hardcore. Like I will have been working since 6 a.m. and at 10 a.m. I'm going for my power walk and my assistant is sending me a note on Voxer saying, I need this, I need that. And I'm like, I need an hour off.
Right.
I am doing this pause for myself. And I take my power walk. I listen to my podcast. I come back, I take my shower and I'm raring to go again. And it's great. So take a pause and then you plan, you know, you set your vision. You see what might be the obstacles in your way, whatever challenges there are, what kind of resources you need to commit to it. And, you know, you make your plan. And then from there, you prioritize. And I personally use something called the Eisenhower Matrix.
I've never heard of that. Eisenhower.
And the short version is it's four quadrants. You can actually just handwrite it yourself right on a piece of paper. And they are important, not important, urgent, not urgent. And if something lands in the important and urgent category, you need to do it now.
Right. It's number one.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not important and not urgent, maybe you don't have to do it at all. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's all the shades in between. Mm-hmm. And this is an easy, easy way if you have this overwhelming task list of just way too many things to do. Name a person in your life who doesn't have way too many things to do. You quickly visually see what's important and what's not. And your goal ultimately is to get into the category of important but not urgent and spend most of your time there. Right. That's your goal as a business owner, as as the CEO of your business, is to get to the point where you've delegated and eliminated enough things that you can be working in that area and not feeling that sense of urgency to get things done.
Right. You know, I'd imagine that for people who were in an office, your husband, my husband, you know, because we, you know, like we said, we've been doing this a long time, but people who are in an office who are now home-based, whether it's, you know, weeks, months, you know, perpetual, they were in many ways used to someone giving them their schedule for the day. And, you know, and whether that was scheduling meetings, they were doing lunch, I mean, all these various things. And now they still have obviously work that they have to get done, but that's gone.
Right.
So how do they kind of work through the, you know, how do they start figuring out? Because, you know, of course, for everybody, you know, my job is the priority. You will get this done, you know, and whether you're at home office or whether you're in an office, but how do people who are now having to develop their own schedules, how do they kind of work through that without
I would go back to just what I said, which is really planning out your day, looking at your time, rethinking your time. That's the pause. It's taking the space and time to just rethink how that all looks. Now, you know, I'm betting people in major corporations still have set meeting times.
Right.
I know this for a fact because I see my sister-in-law and most of her meetings are like 4 p.m. and I'm thinking, what? Because when I worked in Wall Street, our meetings were like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And they were setting the tone for the day. And
yes, absolutely. And it wasn't at the end of the day because everybody wanted to go home. No, they were done. Right. But every corporation is going to be different. So you'll have those things already scheduled. And, you know, you have to put those first. Whatever your company is telling you where you have to be when, you have to put those in your schedule first. And then you just work around it and you look at your different times of day. With my clients, we have something every Thursday called the Productivity Power Hour. And it's a 1 hour session. We all hop on together. We have a quick accountability. This is what I'm going to do. Then we do two 25-minute Pomodoro sessions, which was created by a gentleman whose name just went right out of my head.
Pomodoro.
He had a kitchen timer that was the shape of a tomato, and he would turn on his kitchen timer to time himself in a tomato-shaped Pomodoro. At any rate, so these are these, it's very common. You can find it right online, tomato-timer.com, totally free. And you can set up these Pomodoro sessions. So I actually do this where I do a tiny, teeny tiny bit of consulting and coaching. And then people go off, do 25-minute segment, including me. I get to work too. And I do this near the end of the week because people have goals for the week. And sometimes they haven't had a chance to accomplish them. So one of my clients, what she accomplishes is invoicing her clients. Like it, she doesn't enjoy it, it's annoying, she can't stand it.
And she put it off if she could.
And she would, but she gets it done every week because there we are. Did you do your invoicing? Get it done. That little bit of accountability. You could have an accountability partner. There are lots of ways you can do this. But that was the huge thing that people liked about my program the best was that at the end of the week, they could do this. Another gal had a craft table she was trying to get organized, and she was just determined to do it, but really never could find the time. So she would do that during the power hour.
And you know, you brought up something that I think is really important, and that is somehow connecting with other people. Yes. You know, and whether, you know, I'm part of a mastermind group. And then I also, you know, as I mentioned, I started this online networking thing. And it's, you know, open to anybody. So if anybody's interested, just let me know. But, you know, we do an hour where we network and we have an educational piece. So that's always a lot of fun because we were used to going and doing things.
Right.
So we still need that. And sometimes we need it to not be directly in our business. Right. You know, like we were networking, you know, it's, you know, however we're talking with those people. And, you know, I love the accountability aspect. You know, in my mastermind group this week, I said, well, my accountability is something I had not planned on. It was, you know, thrown at me that I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do it almost immediately. And so everything else got moved. But then it had, you know, then that comes back into the time and the prioritization. I mean, this really is something that had to be done right away. So, you know, when an attorney tells you need to do something right away, yeah, that pretty much does take priority.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we're telling other people, here's what we have to do, then even if they don't ask about it, it's still here, you know, in our brains that, oh, I told Catherine I was going to get my invoices done this week. And if she finds out I didn't, I'm going to be in trouble. So it's like, okay, I'll just get my invoices done. That way I don't have to worry about it. You know, and that comes back to a lot of what we were saying, you know, productivity, time management, all of those things. That all starts, you know, and what I found in my 20 years of home officing is things do start to flow.
Mm-hmm.
Get hiccups, you get things thrown at you at the last minute. But that happens anywhere. So that's the biggie.
I think accountability is huge. Mm-hmm. And if you've never worked by yourself in an mm-hmm. office space before, you know, find that group mm-hmm. of people. Maybe it's one person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Who you can just say, hey, this is what I'm working on mm-hmm. today. Can we touch base? Mm-hmm. And it can be something like a quick phone call at 8 a.m. I'm working on this today, mm-hmm. and I'd love to chat with you at 3 p.m. to make sure I got it done. Mm-hmm. I am starting accountability literally after we have this call mm-hmm. today with a gal who I met through my coaching program, mm-hmm. who I discovered is studying for the same exam I am with
cool.
a really different group, which is Institute for Challenging Disorder. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm trying to get my reading done. I'm mm-hmm. finding I'm not staying on top of this. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be accountability partners?
I love it. I love it.
And so we're going to hold each other accountable, probably a quick email once a week or twice a week, touch base and say.
Well, and then you can, especially since you're studying the same thing, you can say, what did you think about X?
Right.
You know, and so things like that. The other thing that I think is probably a challenge for many people, especially when, you know, they went from working somewhere to home, you know, we had a weekend in there, right? Where on Friday you were told Monday you're not coming in.
Right.
But, you know, it comes back to, ooh, I'm home. I can be doing laundry. I can be playing mm-hmm. with the dog. I can watch TV and I'll kind of get to my work. And one of the things that I was told, you know, when I first started home officing is you have to treat it like an office. You
yes.
have to set your hours. You can't go off and do laundry unless you were, you know, you'd normally take like a 15-minute break during your workday anyway. I mean, you know, there's those things. But, you know, and then the other thing is, and I always love this because I don't follow it all that much, is how we dress.
Right.
You know, and I have this discussion a lot with people, dress like you would to go into the office. Because mentally, that's going to put you in that place of working. I've got a polo shirt on, which is, you know, it's clean. You know, I can wear it anywhere. You look very professional. You know, and but of course,
You know my secret, Jeff.
Yeah, and of course, we all have the Zoom outfits on, right? You know,
this
shorts,
is the
shorts,
Zoom
and flip flops.
A total beauty from the professional.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, party for the race down.
Yep. And I've talked to people who have what they call their Zoom shirts. I'm like, what's it? And they said they keep a nice, clean, professional shirt in their office space all the mm-hmm. time. And then they wear a t-shirt, whatever, you know, as they're just sitting and working. But then if they have to do a Zoom right away, they switch shirts really quick. And we've all seen examples of what happens when somebody stands up when they weren't.
Oh, the guy who was wearing the shorts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I love the news anchors.
Where are you in the camera? Yeah. And pay attention. Yeah. I am wearing shorts. Mm-hmm. I am not a yoga pants wearer. I'm not a pajama pants wearer, but it's warm out and I am comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
No one can really tell. Yeah. No. I'm just giving my secret away. But this is not uncommon for me. It's hot this summer. Mm-hmm. It'll be much easier for me. Mm-hmm. This is a sleeveless blouse under the nice cardigan, so right. I can go outside. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do, Deb, is I try to, even if I'm working through lunch, I try to eat my lunch in a different part.
Right.
Or outside. Mm-hmm.
Take that break.
Different view and a different feeling and am away from the office. I will sometimes have a video class I need to watch and I'll watch that while I eat. And I'll literally just go to our back patio. That is why I'm wearing shorts. So I can be comfortable to go to the back patio and watch a video and not overheat or have to change. I don't really, you know what? I dress once during the day and I don't want to have to dress again.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, and I don't want to be going on, you know, back and forth with what am I doing? What am I wearing?
Right.
But it's funny, years ago when I worked for the American Cancer Society, I was, and this was in Denver, I was the primary media spokesperson. And, you know, typically we scheduled things, but obviously, it didn't happen, and especially in an organization like that, you can have a TV camera appear at the door. You know, some big celebrity was diagnosed with whatever, or, you know, new treatment, you know, all these various things. And it was a casual office. You know, we were allowed to wear like a polo shirt, nice pants. I don't think jeans were allowed, but, but, you know, certainly not shorts or t-shirts or anything like that. We still had to be professional, but fairly casual, but not what one would wear if you were doing a TV interview.
Oh, goodness.
And yeah. So my boss, you know, the lovely woman that she was, she told me, keep a suit there. And more than once I had to, you know, immediately change. But yeah, I didn't have to go dressed like that. And so, you know, we can have our Zoom outfits and, you know, Zoom has now become a verb, just like Google. Or noun, I guess it would be. What is noun, adverb, adjective?
When I worked in Wall Street, I kept a skirt suit, a brush blouse, a pair of pumps, and a pair of tights in my office.
Right.
Ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you spilled something and then had a meeting. Or, and I was always dressed. We had to be dressed. It was, it was a very corporate environment. So I was used to that. So I'm very used to dressing up. This doesn't faze me.
Right.
I am a big believer in that you dress to go to the office. So I actually do that. Now, when I'm working at 6 a.m., I'm not. I'm usually in my gym clothes. Mm-hmm. And then once I do my gym workout thing, you know, outside my power walk, then I come back and I shower and I dress for the office. But I will say that's really only since the pandemic. I kind of shifted my hours around to make this schedule work better. And part of the reason was I didn't have to put my daughter on the bus to school.
Right, right. So that your day could start at a different time.
Time that I had to take, I could already be working. That's going to shift back. Pretty soon she's going to have to get on the bus to school again. I'm going to see if maybe she could just get on the bus to school without me at all. So that I could be working because I really do like this new schedule. I'm very fresh and going at 6 a.m. While I'm talking about time and before I forget, because I do these things, you talked about people and planning. One great way, if you're not used to the scheduling thing, is to plan on either Sunday evening or first thing Monday morning the week.
Right. Yeah, that's when I fill out my calendar is first thing Monday morning.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter which, but you want to fill it out for the week so that you know when you have to be where. So I knew this morning, you know, the calendar popped open at 6 a.m. Hey, I'm being interviewed today. And now I know how to work my time for today. And that's been on the calendar for quite some time. I mean, my weeks are planned out way before the Sunday or Monday. But you want to review it on Sunday night or Monday morning so you know what you've got going.
Right. Right. And, you know, many people might not be used to that, especially if they went into an office. You know, they got up, they went into the office, they worked, they came home. You know, and so, you know, one of the greatest things in the world is a Google Calendar. And I love mine. I put everything on it. You know, especially if it's a block of time that I have to commit to. You know, one of the things that, you know, the big thing is, you know, I still have a treatment every 3 weeks. So I might have the treatment in the morning, but I block out the whole rest of the day because I'm not going to be functioning well that afternoon to have a meeting. And sometimes I even block out the next morning, depends on, you know, what's going on. But, you know, and, you know, now that we're no longer planning drive times and commute times, at least for a while, it does give us a little bit more time. But yeah, Google Calendar. And the cool thing about something like a Google Calendar is it's shareable, you know, and you get it on all your various toys. And so my producer of the program has access to my Google Calendar. So she sees it. She knows, okay, this is a heavy week. She sent me a note yesterday and she said, oh my gosh, I see that you're going to be out of the office for a 2 week time period. We need to get a bunch of stuff done before then. So right. she reviews that so other people can do it. You know, your family can see those Google calendars too. And, you know, that's just another fairly easy way to be, you know, keeping track of your time, especially if you weren't used to doing it quite so much.
Right. And I actually have four different categories for my calendar. Uh-huh. So I color code my calendar.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mine's color coded.
Mm-hmm. One time. And my daughter is another time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we also rent a beach house down in mm-hmm. Fenwick Island, Delaware, that mm-hmm. Is a business I run. Mm-hmm. And that's in a different color. Mm-hmm. So I know who our renters are yep. and when mm-hmm. they're there and when mm-hmm. I'm there. Anything that's like a money generating mm-hmm. activity, it mm-hmm. is on my calendar in green.
Green. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Green for money. Mm-hmm. Red is stop. This is really important. You've got to get this done, right. Like any of my mm-hmm. activities. Mm-hmm. I think my daughter is purple. Mm-hmm. The family is yellow, like mm-hmm. slow down, spend right. time with family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can get really creative and visual. And this is all right on Google Calendar. Mm-hmm. And then what I've got in my to-do list. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I think this is really important. People are very individual. Mm-hmm. You use a paper planner. Mm-hmm. I would rather break out in hives than use a paper planner.
Right. And I didn't use a paper planner until fairly recently.
But that's great. And mm-hmm. here's what I always say to my clients. I said, it's not the system that you should do. It's a mm-hmm. system you will do. And if right. you're consistent and mm-hmm. you love a paper planner, mm-hmm. use a paper planner. Mm-hmm. If you're like me and you love a digital, for years I used Asana, free mm-hmm. software, loved it, mm-hmm. great task project management software tool. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, probably in like December, I faded off it. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't working for me anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me about 6 months, which mm-hmm. is a ridiculously long amount of time. But since I'm in this industry, I wanted to try a whole
bunch. Right. You needed to investigate different things.
So I mm-hmm. could do this for my clients. Mm-hmm. And I've landed on Todoist. That's just my personal preference mm-hmm. for how I do project management now. I tried Trello. Mm-hmm. I thought since I'm so visual that a bunch of boards would really be great mm-hmm. for me. And they're so cute and clever. For me, that was like Alice down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, squirrels everywhere.
Rest of project management, mm-hmm. which if you're disciplined, that's great. But for mm-hmm. me, I was like, let's make it pretty. Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. See that? Yeah. I'm like, ooh, what's this shade of purple? Ooh, let's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I just couldn't do it. And it's a beautiful, wonderful system. Mm-hmm. And I know I have clients mm-hmm. who love Trello, and that's great.
Right.
But that's really what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. What will you do consistently?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, one of the things that I use a lot is an online scheduling program. You uh-huh. know, and so I use, you know, I just happen to use it's Schedule Once, but there are multiple ones. And, you know, and it ties into my Google Calendar. So mm-hmm. I'm, you know, and of course, the cool thing about Google Calendar is you can set your time as busy, which means nothing yeah. can go over it. Or, you know, like you were saying, you know, your rental property. Well, you know, obviously other things are happening. So that's going to be available, I think, is what the time setting is. But yeah, so my Schedule Once ties into my Google Calendar. And of course, the cool time saving thing about it, that is if I say, hey, Catherine, you know, let's set a time. Then we're not doing this back and forth email thing of what about Tuesday at 2? No, Tuesday at 2 doesn't work. So what about Wednesday at 3? No, Wednesday at 3 doesn't work. And you've got 50 emails that go back and forth when you could have just had one, with an online scheduling program. Now I pay
for the brilliant, by the way.
Right. Oh yeah. You know, I pay for the version I have just because I use it in a different way and I want to brand it and all that stuff. But there's so many free ones that people can be using also.
Calendly, Visita. I pay for Visita. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I want my own branding. But one of the things you do that I don't do that I really like, and I'm going to be adding this, go Deb, is to say, choose two possible times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How great is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That gives you some flexibility to decide which is going to be better. And but the onus was on me to choose the two times. Mm-hmm. And I will say spectacularly fast at getting back and saying which of the two times. Mm-hmm. That's great. Meanwhile, I've blocked the two times.
Just right. Yeah.
Immediately I can go in and delete the other one. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I think that's a great way to help get things on your calendar.
Right. And of course, the most important thing is you have to keep your own calendar current. Every once in a while it's like, oh, I forgot to put something on there. And then I've double booked, and various things like that. And then, as you said, responding quickly so that not only am I being respectful of my time, but I'm more importantly, I'm being respectful of your time because you thought, okay, well she, you know, the two times I picked were Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 and 2. So you've kind of kept them available. So I need to be respectful and tell you which one of those is the time. So, you know, and so I get an email and then you just click, you know, it's very simple. I can do it from my phone. I can do it from wherever. And I think that's the way a lot of programs are. Google Calendar lets you do that too. It's just, you know, it doesn't give options, which is where a scheduling program does, but
and scheduling programs will also let you even bill out some of them,
right?
So oh yeah, you have a certain like I charge for an hour of my time. Mm-hmm. It can be done. The billing can be done right.
Oh yeah, and you can make them pay in advance. I mean, all sorts of things. Yeah. Oh yeah. So, well, oh my gosh, Catherine. See, we knew this would happen. We knew that we would just go on forever. We didn't talk about the big thing. You know that we we've been through this trauma. And yes, you know, having cancer is a trauma and it doesn't matter if it's a fairly simple thing or something big diagnosed, but it does change how you see things. So we just, we have to have you back because I think that's very important. Not only if somebody has to go through this, but if you're having to deal with someone, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a coworker, what are some of the things that they're going through? And things because time management, prioritization, I mean, it really does tie into this. And the really funny thing is I keep telling people this pandemic ain't nothing. I've had 17 surgeries in 5 years. That changes stuff. Yeah. And so I'm like, whatever. Now I'm obviously very careful, but it's when you have something happen, it does change, how you see your work life, how you see a lot of things. So I'd love to have you back on again so we can talk about that.
I'd love to be back on. I think that'd be amazing.
I love it.
And so we'll much just to talk about
forever. Yes. Yes. But we also need people to know now what services you offer because you've got some great programs that you can offer people. So tell people how they can work with you.
They can find me at my website, which is a little bit in the midst of being redone. Deb and I were talking about that. Productivitybydesign.com. It should be updated any day now. We're really on top of this working with my team and I. But I have two programs. One is Fog to Focus, and that's my group program. Mm-hmm. And then the other program I have is from Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, and that is a one-on-one program where we sit down in both programs and work out your productivity, your systems, how you could be best running your business so it's not running you. And we do the power of the pause and self-care and the whole nine yards. So either of those, a great way to reach me is there. Also, my email, which is productivitybydesign1@gmail.com. And I can be found on all the social channels. Either you'll find me under Catherine J. Avery or Productivity by Design.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And there's, we were talking before about your blog. You've got some really great posts there. You have to go look. There's one about being peed on by an eagle. I'm just going to, Yeah.
And my podcast.
I know. Yes, your podcast is there. You can find the podcast with me there, you know, so that's very important. We want people to go see that.
Office podcast. And yes, Deb was my guest. I apologize. I don't remember exactly which episode.
But you know, I looked and I don't remember either.
It wasn't 600.
yeah. So, but yeah. And speaking of 600, thank you so much for being guest number 600. This has been fabulous. It's, you know, I've been having so much fun talking with you, and we really could go on for a long time because these issues we've been talking about are very serious issues. And I think people are struggling with them. It will be fun. We'll have you on again because I think in 6 months, hopefully the world will have calmed into whatever it's going to be for a while, whether that's that most people are home officing, that they're doing a hybrid, whatever it is. And so I think it'll be a good, timely subject to be talking about again as we're figuring out, okay, I'm home every Tuesday and Thursday. I'm working Monday, Wednesday, Friday in an office. How do I deal with all that? I mean, all these various things. So, you know, we will obviously and definitely have you on again. And I can't wait to do that.
I love it, Deb. That's great. Thank you so much.
Well, do you have any final thoughts for everyone?
Just to know that you're going to be perfectly fine. We're all going to figure this out. You know, take a pause, plan, prioritize. And it will all work out. It really will.
I love it. Well, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having an absolutely, positively delightful time talking with Catherine Avery of Product by Design. And until next time, everyone, have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.